Gospel according to St. Luke in the book of Acts, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then they please rise for the Gospel. Thank you. Then they passed through Pisidia and came to Pamphylia. And when they had spoken the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia. And from there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work they had fulfilled. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And they remained no little time with the disciples. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, we have been studying, this is a little bit for our visitors today, too. The 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation is on the 31st of this month. Okay, so in 2 weeks. One of the things that came out of the Reformation were five, what we call solas, by alone. Grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone, Christ alone, to the glory of God, is the last one. So today we are going to be working on faith alone. We did scripture alone 2 weeks ago and grace alone last week. But one of the things about the solas is that they are intertwined and they work together. So it's like that old commercial, you can't have one, you can't have none, you can't have one without the other. And that's, you know, we do it with a little bit of humor, but it's true, okay? They are intertwined. They're all part of the same whole. Well, faith alone is the key point that separates the true gospel from false gospels. And what is the purpose of this? Eternal life. You know, so we're talking about a subject that's very important, aren't we? Paul writes in Galatians 1, verse 9, "As we have already said, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned." True gospel versus false gospel. So Paul was addressing that same question that Sola Fide addresses. On what basis is man declared to be justified before God? Now, what does it mean to be justified? All right, why did you do this? Justify your reason for me. Is that what this means here? Well, sort of, but not really. Justification is important. It is what our faith stands on, according to Martin Luther. Why? Because justification is the forgiveness of sins. And what we're going to look at today is when we talk about our faith, you know, we're saved by grace through faith. We had that reading last week. We know that we receive the grace because of our faith. But today, we're going to look at what that really means. If we deviate from any one of the solas, any one of those 5 points, then the others of the solas suffer. So not only is it important to us, it was important to God as these ideas came through in the Bible. If this happens, the gospel then becomes powerless, and it loses the power to save us, because everything is based out of the Bible. So, sola fide, or by faith alone, is the key point of differences between the Protestants and the Roman Catholics. But not only that, it's the difference between biblical Christianity and almost all the other religions out there. Why? Because it's not by our work that we are saved. It's by Christ's work that we are saved. Almost all other religions say it's because of what man does. Now, I have talked about the arrows in here, and we're going to talk about the arrows again today. So when we talk about salvation, do the arrows come from us to God? No, because we have no control over God. God has control over us. So those arrows come from God to us. Make sense? Now, the key point of this is when we're talking about works. Okay, so do we merit our salvation through our works? No. But we do good works, right? We're led to good works. As Paul says, we're made for good works, right? But do we earn our way into heaven? No. We receive salvation because those arrows come from God to us. Well, religions, other religions, cults teach what you have to do to be saved. Now stop and think about that. If you got to do something, remember I talked to you about the difference between law and gospel. Law is what we do. Gospel is what we receive. And as good Lutheran Christians in here, we know the proper distinction between law and gospel. The reason I'm doing that is because we're teaching a walk through the Christian faith after church on Sundays. And we're going through Luther's Small Catechism again. And I don't care how old you are, it never hurts to go through that because it's the basic Christianity. It's what we believe as Christians. So that proper distinction of law and gospel, we're not based on what we do, it's what we receive. But because of what we receive, we're led to do those kind of things. So, the Bible teaches that we're not saved by works, but by God's grace, through his gift of faith, which is what we focused on last week. If we lose that doctrine of the justification by faith, we lose our only way to salvation. Now, when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but an obligation. However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteous. Now, that's from Romans 4. I have a commentary that I use a lot about Romans, and the name of the commentary is not Romans. So many of them just have the name of the book. This is the creation of righteousness for the ungodly. Now stop and think about that. The creation of righteousness for the ungodly. Who are the ungodly? Us. Okay? We are. And so when we have Romans, it teaches us how it is created, how righteousness is that gift that we understand, that we get through our faith. Now, because it's not our work, it's Christ's work that we receive the benefit of. So, this happens apart from any works and before the individual actually begins to become righteous. Now, what I'm reading today, you know, we're talking about the catechism. Well, you know, pastors have to go through the catechism too. But we don't go through Luther's small catechism. We go through Luther's large catechism, which is what is he used to teach pastors how to teach the small catechism. But there's some good stuff in there. All right, again, this happens apart from any works and before the individual actually begins to become righteous. This is an important distinction between Catholic theology that teaches righteous works are meritorious. In other words, you earn that merit toward salvation, and Protestant theology that affirms the biblical teaching that righteous works are the result and evidence of a born-again person who has been justified by God and regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, does that sound that bad today? No, I mean, that's the way we understand it. 500 years ago, that was heresy. But again, it's not because of our work, it's because of the Holy Spirit working through us, isn't it? Isn't that the way we understand things? Is that heresy to you? Well, it was then. And in fact, that was a death sentence, if you propose that. You know, too often, sola fide is given an unimportant viewpoint, shall we say, by the Catholic Church, because if you are doing works for merit, is it by faith alone? And that's one of the things that still hasn't changed. You know, and I think it's sad. And I don't usually tear down things, because we agree on so many things. But that's one thing we still disagree on. Paul explains this in Galatians 3. Now, we talked about this last week, but I think it's important to look at it again. Consider Abraham. He believed God, and was credited to him as righteous. Okay? In other words, he was righteous before the first covenant, right? Because of his faith. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the true man of faith. If all you do is obey the law, in other words, it's what you do, you're under a curse. Because that's not going to save you. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins, the justification that saves you. I mean, there it is, basically. So in answer, what does it mean? Well, faith is not an object in itself. Okay? I have strong faith. My faith is all-encompassing. So, faith is only important when there's an object with it. Now stop and think about that. If my faith is strong, which way is the arrow going? You ever thought about it that way? See, if you ever start thinking about arrows, then things come alive for you. Faith in Christ is only important because of the object of our faith. In other words, our attention is on Christ. Our faith is towards Christ, the important one. Well, if you believe that Jesus is the crucified and risen one, he's our Lord, he's the very Son of God, he's enthroned at the right hand of the Father, then your faith will be bold. And that's in the creed, isn't it? Now, today, you'll notice I'm quoting Luther a lot, which is what I just did there. But do we worship Martin Luther? No. He's a great pastor. Boy, I wish I was half as smart as he was. Do you realize that only half of his books have been translated into English? We have a whole section at the seminary when I went there of Luther's works that is as large as that wall is back there. And 500 years ago, I mean, people didn't live that long, did they? I mean, stop and think of writing all those books. Now, do we agree with everything with Luther? No. I mean, he's a man and he's fallible. But I'll tell you one thing. He understood the Bible. Remember 2 weeks ago we sang a hymn for the blessing of a Christian army that was facing that Muslim army that was marching on Vienna? Okay? Now stop and think. Is there any difference in that today? Are we still fighting Islam? Is it still a threat? So what are we facing today? Well, let's look at this. Luther writes, faith is a vital, deliberate trust. A vital, deliberate trust in God's grace. So certain that it would die 1,000 times for it. Remember, Luther stood up in front of the Catholic Church and said, here I stand. I can do no other. Faith would die 1,000 times for the grace of God. Because if you ignore your faith with its object, with Jesus Christ, how can you turn away from Jesus? Can you? No, you can't. So focusing on anything besides Jesus with faith is an affront to the first commandment. What's the first commandment? Thou shalt.
Have no other gods before me.
All right. What can be other gods? Money? Booze? Sports? Faith? If it's not right, it can't be. Fame. You see, when we start looking at, when those things become important to you, more important than your faith in Jesus Christ, is it of God? Yes. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, when I went through catechism, they said, well, that's because we had Baal and the people like that. No, it's more than that. It's the things we deal with daily. When we let something become more important than our faith in Jesus Christ, we've lost our faith, haven't we? And it's by faith alone we're saved. It's because of sola fide that Martin Luther could stand in front of the emperor at Worms Cathedral and witness to his faith. Not too long after that, the rest of the reformers stood up in front of the emperor at Augsburg. Knowing the object of our faith makes us bold to say with the psalmist, what can man do to me? Luther quoted that, Psalm 56. And with the apostles' teaching, we must obey God rather than man. Now, that's a subject for another sermon, but, you know, let's just take a look at this. So what does this mean for you? Under the banner of sola fide, you can stand in the threat of persecutions, threats, sufferings, and disease. You can even face death. For it is not the strength of your faith that saves you, but your faith in Jesus Christ that does. And why is he worthy of that? Because he has destroyed death and the power of the devil. Just as nothing can now conquer Christ, so nothing can conquer you, for you are connected to Christ by your true faith. It is the faith in Christ, then, that leads us to good works. So, sola fide, by faith alone, is the battle cry of the Protestant Reformation. Because it puts everything in their proper order. Grace alone, faith alone, scripture alone. Aren't those blessings? And as a church, don't we stand for those? I mean, how many of you understood why those three are up there? You walk into that door every Sunday and you see that. Thank you, Pastor Tony. Question?
You're asking how many?
Yeah. Christ did everything for us. It's been done. When we look at the Trinity, we have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Father's job was creation. Is creation finished? Yes. The Son's job is for the old. What's that other funny word we use for it? Redemption. And again, redeem means what? To ransom. There has to be something paid for redemption. And what did Jesus pay? His life. Okay. So, what's the one that's left? Holy Spirit. And what's that funny word we use with that? Sanctification. So our relationship is with the Holy Spirit through our faith because of Jesus. Am I telling you anything you didn't know? No. Has it been a while since you thought of it that way? Yes. Folks, may the sweet comfort this statement gives, that Jesus Christ has done everything for you, keep your hearts and minds on Jesus Christ. Amen.